Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. Oh, we welcome you. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Pray this simple prayer through melody. Lift your voice, let's sing it together. In your life is that it will be very obvious your love for the brethren. Amen. If you love the Lord, you will love the brethren. If you love the Lord, you will show kindness, you will show mercy, and you will show love to the brethren. Amen. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother. Have you met somebody who is always busily, you know, worshiping God, praising God, very involved, very active in the things of God, yet he lives in hatred and walks in hatred? Now, the Bible says that such a person, immediately you see a person like that, you should know that lice is hovering around the place. Amen? So he says that if a man says, I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? That he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. Hallelujah. So this morning, through this scripture, we are seeing clearly that if you say you love God, one of the ways your love for God is expressed is in your love for the brethren. Amen. Is your love for what? Your love for what? Your love for who? Your love for the brethren. And when we talk about the brethren, we are talking about your neighbor. When we talk about the brethren, we are talking about your colleague. When we talk about the brethren, we are talking about your sister, your sibling. When we talk about the brethren, we are talking about the people that you live with. You know, you are a believer. You say you love the Lord, but you are fighting with your mother. Yeah. You are fighting with your mother. I mean, you insult your mother as if she's your classmate. Did they come to church? Are they here in church? Yeah. You say you love the Lord, you know, but you express deep hatred for your spouse. Look, there are some couple, there is hatred. You can see clear and obvious hatred in operation among the couple. Hallelujah. They are very good at pretending. So when they are in the midst of people, they smile, they wear too much. Have you met couples like that before? They wear too much, you know, and then they normally like to sit together too much, you know. So the man is wearing a kente shirt, and the woman is also wearing kente, kaba short. Akweke Mary. You know, and when you look at them and you see them, what you say is that, wow, I want to be like them. Amemali. Obua. Hallelujah. From today, if you call yourself a child of God and you call yourself a believer of the word of God, then you must understand that if you say you love the Lord, it must be expressed in your love for the brethren. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what the Bible is saying. And if you're a believer, it means that you are a believer of God's word and you are a doer of God's word. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that if a man say, I love God, I love God, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And you are very good at singing love songs to God. But you are not good at singing love songs to the brethren. Yeah. You know, listen, sometimes I get amazed at people's interpretation to doctrine and people's interpretation to scripture. Jesus explicitly has mentioned it, you know, that when he comes, the day that he comes, what he's going to do is that he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and then he will say to the sheep, that thank you very much. When did you go to prison that I came to visit? Then Jesus will say, so long as you have done it for the least of the brethren, you have done it to me. What is Jesus trying to say? What he's trying to say is to confirm the scripture of 1 John 4. He is saying that if you want to express your love to me, you need to express your love to the brethren. That is why I feel so sad when somebody says that the only father we have is our Father in heaven. And so they have the opportunity, instead of having the opportunity to honor the fathers that God has given to us on earth, the spiritual fathers that God has given to us on earth, the biological fathers that God has given to us on earth, they look into the eyes of their father who has raised them in the Lord and they insult them. They are insulting them because they lack understanding of the scriptures. Because Jesus said that. He said that so long as you have done it for the brethren, if we have only our Father in heaven, then immediately you are born. You should be thrown from heaven, from the Father in heaven, straight on earth. No father should be in charge of you. There should be no father who is in charge of you. When you are going to school, you have to knock. Go to heaven, go and knock for school fees. When you need bread for breakfast, you need to knock. You know, but God works through men. God works through men. I said God works through men. And that is why as a son of my father, Bishop Dagiwad Mills, God has used him as a point of contact. And he's a father in my life to guide me towards the call that is placed upon my life. You see, when God places a call upon your life, you need guidance. You need tutorials. You need tutelage. You need direction. You need counseling. Why do we go to school when we have all the textbooks around? Is there any need to even go to school? We have all the every material you need if you want to do medicine. Get the material and read the books. Read anatomy and physiology. Read biochemistry. Read psychology. Read sociology. Read all the related subjects. They are there. The books are on the shelves. It's easy to buy. They are available. You want to be an accountant, go to town. What are some of the accounting books?
He said Abbott.
No, it's not Abbott. I'm asking you. She doesn't know. What are some of the physics books?
Akiola.
Uh-huh, you see? He's an art student. He mentioned Abbott, but he didn't know what Abbott was. Abbott is a physics book. Hallelujah. Now, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that if you have the material, do you need somebody to teach you? Yes, you need somebody to teach you. That is why somebody is trained specially to give you understanding. And he should give you what? He should give you what? Understand. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. It's God who gives fathers and gives pastors. So if you cannot respect the father that God has given to you on earth, you must know that you have risen against the Almighty Father himself. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Now, why am I saying the things I'm saying? I'm sharing from scripture because sometimes we are so blind to the truth, such that let me tell you something. You will go into your closet and pray for hours on end. But when the answers are coming, it will not drop from the skies. God will use vessels. Even Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, when he had to come on earth and save you and I, he came through a vessel. Don't underestimate the power of the vessels that God has given to us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible says, let every soul. Say after me, let every soul. Now, do we have souls here? Yeah. If you have a soul, can you lift your hand? So every means that let everyone who is hearing me right now, what should they do? Put it up, please. Concentrate. Put it up. Romans chapter, whoever is there, you know, listen, concentrate on the work, okay? Concentrate. Let every soul be subject. Be what? Subject. Be subject unto the higher powers. For there is, let's look at the message version of this scripture. I think you will understand it better. I need maximum concentration at the back. No talking, no. Listen, we are working because God must feed his children. Once you can allow Satan to use you as a vessel, even in the service. He says, be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. Look at the GNT. 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 It says that whosoever opposes the existing authority opposes what God has ordered. Hey, the fact that the person, you didn't even belong to the party. You see, we are talking about authority here. We are talking about authority. I'm not talking about power. I'm talking about authority. Every authority that has been put in place over your life, the Bible is saying, be subject. You know, Jesus learned obedience by the many things he suffered. Jesus, when he was on earth, one of the things I learned from him was that he was subject to the authority that was over him, the Father. He was subject. He was subject. He says that whosoever opposes the existing authority opposes what God has ordered. And anyone who does so will bring judgment on himself. It's dangerous. In the same way also, as the Lord has given you brethren around you, the Lord has given you siblings around you, the Lord has raised you from a family, from among a clan, you respect God, you honor God, you worship God, but you hate your brother. The Bible says that such a person is a liar. Listen, and the Bible says all liars will go to hell. Look, I'm telling you something here. Lies is not when the thing you stole the thing from the soup. Do you understand? They asked you and you said, no, I wasn't the one. It's also a type of lie. But the Bible is teaching us that when you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you are in that category. I don't know why the church is quiet. Yeah. You are in the same bar center, you don't talk. You are pastors, you don't talk. You choose the pastor that you want to talk to and the pastor you don't want to talk to. You choose the one who is your friend and the one who is not your friend. You are a child and you are flesh, you are carnal. You are only carrying a title, but you are not what the Bible says you are. Jesus said it. He says, when you see your brother, you say that, I love God, but as for you, we'll meet in heaven. One day I heard a story. You know, two friends were moving together and one friend lost his $12,000. And he was complaining to another friend and he said, you know, nobody has stolen my money before. It's when I started working with this guy that I noticed that my monies have been getting missing small, small. So I said, oh, I have known this man all my years. I've known him for well over 20 years. And I'm very certain that he may not be the one. He said, listen to me. I am concluding now that he's a thief. And from today, I don't want to know him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to hear his voice. We'll meet in heaven.
So the friendship has ended here, whilst on earth. But this is the same person who would stand in the pulpit and preach. This is the same person who would actually speak the word of God, and after the word of God is flowing, he will lay hands and people will fall under the anointing. Listen to me. The gift of God, it is not you who produce it. God has given it to you. So his people must be blessed of it. So the fact that you still carry the oil and do great works is not a sign that God is at peace with you. This morning, if you say you love God, you are a Christian and you love God, may I suggest to you that Jesus is telling us that one of the key ways of expressing your love to God is your love to the brethren. How do I express love? Love must be personified. How do I express it? Do I say that I love you verbally and that's it? Jesus said, he said that when somebody comes to you and the person is hungry and you tell him that be warm, I see the power of God coming upon you. From today, I can see that, Charlie, you are changing. Your status is changing. The guy is hungry. A and look at you. You are quoting scriptures. You are quoting scriptures. Common sense approach will tell you that, look, the guy is hungry. When you are hungry, what do? Do you quote scriptures? I said, when you are hungry, do you quote scriptures? Now, Jesus is saying, do unto others as you want others do unto you. Since you don't quote scriptures, you also mustn't quote scriptures to the person. The church must be filled with the love of God. The church must be filled with the power of God. The power operates when there is love. And the love is expressed from one brother to the other. Somebody's burden must be your burden. You shouldn't tell yourself that, well, it's his cup of tea. No. His burden must be your burden. His challenge must be your challenge. Because you share in a common faith. You believe in the same Lord. You are of the same baptism. And so his burden must be your burden. Oh, yes. Turn to somebody and tell them that your burden is my burden. Tell him from today, your burden is my burden. Now, some of you, you know, this mentality, you have the recipient mentality. You see, you are a reservoir. Bishop, me, I'm a reservoir. You know, I don't empty myself. I fill myself. And so you are always open to receive. But I'm telling you that maybe you have grown with that mindset and the mentality that you can't offer anything. You can't give anything. All you can do is to receive from people. But from today, you must learn that there is something that you can also offer. Recently, I was talking to a gentleman, and we were advising him that he should move from where he is and go and get a place and live, you know. And then he was just hovering around and other things. So I called him and I said, that, how far? Have you got to the place? He said, oh, yeah. Pastor so-and-so said that he's going. I said, this is your mentality, you see. This is your mentality. You earn salary. You receive salary. How come that you are not even making the effort that I am going to work out something and produce something so that even if I need help, the person will just top me up? That mindset of always receiving and not giving must break away from your life. And that is why sometimes some people, when they come to say their issue, I don't mind them. Oh, yes. I don't mind them because when the person has come to talk about his issue and his pain and everything, and after he has spoken about it, sometimes I recommend, I say that, listen to me, do you know something? Go to this person who says he wants to help you. Wash his car. Go there and ask him that, please, do you have some clothes to wash? I want to do it. I tell him, go there and say, do you have some errands that you want to do? I am available to do it. And then they jigger. Do you understand gigament? It's a Latin word. You know, they get upset that the bishop doesn't respect me. I mean, what do you mean by I should go and wash car? If you cannot kowtow and come down to wash car, you don't deserve the person's money. You don't deserve it. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. You know that this person, and you have been talking to the person, and you realize that this person is struggling and looking for a house help who would come and water the garden and tidy up the house. And this person is helping you greatly. And you don't do anything. You just move from place to place and collect money from people. Would you not offer yourself? And you should know that even if you did that, you are not doing the person a favor. Because he's done you a favor. And you are telling yourself, how can I pay back this love? The church has become filled with people like that. And watch it. Your mindset must change. Your attitude must change. Your room is quiet. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to take you through some few points because we have some few other things to do. Amen. Now, like I said, if you say you love the Lord, the key way of expressing your love to God is expressing your love to your brethren. You know, you'd have those you can express love to, but for a certain category, you cannot express love to them. No, this one is not my size. That's how we say it. Onyem is size. Is that not how we say it? What they're actually trying to say is that, you know, we belong to clusters of classes, you know, and he's not part of my class. But I've seen that even great people who are very rich, because of their humility, God continues to elevate them because they're able to relate with everybody and anybody. It is my prayer that God will help you to have this understanding to extend love to the brethren that God has given to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one, if you love the Lord, you will love the brethren. Listen to this. If you love the Lord, you will love the brethren. Your love for the people of God is the evidence of your love for God. It's your love for God. You cannot see God, but you can see your brothers in Christ. Can you see me? Can you see me? I can also see you. We are not living angels around. We are wearing body. We can see. Now, show me. Where is God? Somebody point. Have you seen God right now?
No.
Hey. Ah. By you, you say you love God. But the God you say you love, you. Have you seen him before? Why haven't you seen him before? Why haven't you seen him before? Yeah. So can you then appreciate why it is very important that you express this deep love to the one you can see? Yeah. You see, when Jesus talks about going to all the world and preach the gospel, he wants to redeem people from hellfire. He wants to save people from the eternal consequences of sin. He wants to set people free. Now, which people is he setting free? Are they spirits? They are humans. Which means that Jesus' interest is in people who have flesh and blood, who must be restored back to their original state. And he's counting on you. He's counting on you. I said, Jesus is counting on you. He's counting on you. He's counting on you. Any day I wake up, every day when I wake up, my simple prayer, Lord, may I be the express image of your dear son. May I be a conduit and a reservoir of your blessing. And may I be a channel of blessing to the people I encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yes. Every day, that's my prayer. Lord, use me as a vessel. I want to be a blessing. By the time I'm going back to bed, when I go through the day's activity, may I be able to point finger and say that, Lord, thank you for using me to be a blessing to this person. Thank you for using me to be a blessing for this person. Thank you for using me to be a blessing to this person. Thank you for using me. And then I pray and I thank him that I appreciate you choosing me to be a vessel for you. Listen to me, being a vessel is not in the church. Look, the light, it is not needed. You see, today, a lot of lights have been turned on. All of you are lights. Now, can you imagine if all of you are lights? Then it's enough light. But you see, the light is not needed where there is light. The light is needed where there is darkness. And so when you have to express the light of Christ, it must be out there where there is darkness. The world must see. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and give glory to God. Your light must shine. Your light must shine. If you're a believer, your light must shine. Nowadays, I'm seeing a lot of believers who, I mean, compromising with the world has become the easiest thing to do. But God is saying and asking that, do I have a remnant who will still stay by me and resist the world and choose me all through? Do I have a remnant? Does the Lord have a remnant? Now we call gain godliness. Yeah. Hey, well, J-Wagon. Hallelujah. So our testimonies is when you've got J-Wagon, then you come and testify. When you've got a house, then you come and testify. Come out things. But would you not testify that, you know something, I thank God that a non-entity like me, very weak, I don't even know how to speak, but I just went to town and I began to share the word of God with people, and I saw about 20 people giving their lives to Christ. One of them, he said he was having a headache. I laid hands and suddenly it was gone. That is a testimony. You have won a soul. It's a testimony. That's a testimony. What are all our testimonies about? Even Lazarus, after he had been raised, he died again. Is he with us over here? So the things you are sharing testimonies about, which are so carnal, I want to thank God. I was thinking of how I'll do attachment to my hair. And then somebody called me and he said that I'll give you sponsorship, and I want to do hair extension with Moravian. Do you have Moravian hair? I heard it. Moravian hair. And look at me. Look at how I'm looking. Look at how I'm looking. Look at you. Look at you. Is this a testimony to share? Is this a testimony to share? Let us grow up, church, and become spiritual. One day, I was on a flight with my wife and two biological, but I have many. All right? Now, the second one had been born somewhere and we're coming. Then suddenly, I don't know what happened. Then the plane started a descent. And the descent was so fast that within some few seconds, we are dropped by how many? Yeah, 20,000. From 30,000 to 10,000 in seconds. So you can just calculate. If you're a science student, you appreciate what I'm talking about. But if you're an art student, the literature, you see, Macbeth, you cannot use it to calculate the level of descent. In Gugi Wationgo and Wole Soyinka and Okonkwo. But you know, the art students are the ones ruling the world. The center is not holding. Well, let's get back to the scriptures. So, as the plane was coming down, then I saw the oxygen mask all in the cabin drop. I said, wow. So this is what is called the death by plane crashing. Now I've witnessed some. I can see it happening. The whole place was filled with smoke. And you know, my wife is an air hostess, trained air hostess from Holland. She was trained in Holland. Do you understand? She was trained by KLM in Holland. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. There are other sides of her you might not know. You know? So she was so cool. I said, but why are you cool? Can't you see what is happening? Not knowing that she was just trying to, I mean, they have a way. I think they'd be trained, you know, to keep their calm and other things. And this baby, the second baby, was on her. And then she had put the oxygen mask. She said, oh, sweetheart, you know what? Get Prudence to have the oxygen mask, and then you can put yours on. And I'm struggling with this little girl. And she won't put on. Why should I put mask on? What does it mean? A two-year-old or one-year-something old. What does it mean? Now, I crocrode her. She would not allow. I say, hey, what is happening? So I put, first, you put your own on before you put this thing on. Then, I believe it's the Holy Spirit. I stood and I lifted my hands and I began to pray in tongues. When I opened my eyes, people had come to hide under where the whole seats, almost all the seats, everybody had come around. The pastors in the flight, they all came to my direction. They said, Charlie, we have safety here. Listen, the world is looking for a place where they can find safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. As I began to pray in tongues, I said, thank you, Jesus, that this flight is safe. None shall die and none shall perish. And I began to pray in tongues. Then the pastors came around and held my hands and we all began to pray in tongues. Somebody will have to set the ball in motion, then others will follow. So you can see that even in the case of this, unbelievers were all coming close. As I was saying it, I heard, Ami. Ami. Our amen, we don't say it, amen. We don't say Ami, we say amen. So I knew what was going on. I knew that, look, Baba Isa realized that, look, Charlie, this is the place. This is the place. This is the place for my security. This is the place for my safety. Jesus is in the business of saving people. Now, as he's saving people, he's not saving people who only carry soul, but their spirits. They have a soul and they live in the body. So when you extend the love of Jesus to these people who have spirits, have soul and live in the body, you are actually telling him that what you cherish, we also cherish. What you died for, we are ready to give our lives for it. What you stand for, we are going to stand for it. Then immediately you tell him that, Jesus, I love you. That's what it means. I love you. So that's why he's saying that if you say that you love the person, that you cannot see, but the person you can see, you don't love him. You are a liar. Hey, Charlie, look, Bible, you need divine interpretation. You know, there are a lot of murderers in this room. Including myself. Murderers. Do you know who a murderer is? Somebody who kills. Why? Because the Bible says he that hated his brother is a murderer. How many have hated your brother before? Turn around and see the number of murderers in the church. Do you see why you must always pray for the mercy of God? Yeah. Jesus has come to lift the bar. There are a lot of adulterers, fornicators in the church. How many? Agree. Okay, those who don't agree, you are spiritual. It's okay. Jesus said, when you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. The gentleman, how many fornicators do we have in the church? How many realize that that's the reason why every day you must pray for mercy? Yeah, so Job made a covenant. Job made a covenant. He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman twice. The first look is an involuntary look, but the second look is a voluntary look. The first one, you just chanced on it. So your mind wasn't there, so you actually didn't see. Because it's the mind that actually helps your eyes to see. But when you now intentionally look at it, the Bible says that you are an adulterous person. You have committed adultery. Hey, how many now realize that, Charlie, we must try and just be humble? Because sometimes when something is even being pointed at you, you may argue it out. But when the scriptures begins to expose it, you see that you have no argument. May the Holy Spirit help us. And may we walk in the truth of God's word. Say amen to that. Amen. Number two, if you love the Lord, you will lay down your life for the brethren. One day somebody told me, Bishop, when they do you thing, it doesn't pain you. I said, look, the call of God that is upon my life, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm mandated to do it. And I'm mandated to do it out of a pure heart and a good conscience. Yeah. Out of a pure heart. Not that because God says I should do, so I'm doing it, but in my heart, if I get you, this guy. No. But out of a pure heart. Always renewing my mind about people that God has made me an overseer to take care of them right here. Because let me tell you something. If you listen to your flesh, you didn't hear what I just said. If you listen to your flesh will give you away. Yes. Your flesh. Look, I think that Jesus, thank God for him. He set a very powerful pace for us. I mean, I'm looking at a people that he's dying for. And they are spitting. Somebody wakes up early in the morning. He doesn't. There was no toothpaste at that time. I don't know what was there. But I'm sure maybe it was trapia. Or they used charcoal, and then the places where they don't have a plantain, I don't know what they were doing. And spark. Pwah! Sliding pine. Who did it? You say you're a prophet. Prophesy who did it. And you are praying a simple prayer. I thought you prayed that, Lord, let their legs get crooked. Lord, may their eyes get blind. But he said, Father, forgive them. What an amazing, it's so amazing. Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. I pray that if you say you are a believer and a follower of Christ, we have come to the place where if you love the Lord, you will now begin to express the love to the brethren. May you express the love to the brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16 says that God laid down his life for people. 1 John 3:16 says that it is our turn to lay down our lives for the brethren. It is our turn. That is why you cannot be tired working for God. Because if you are going to work for God, you are going to deal with people. And you are going to deal with different and assorted kinds of people, raised from different backgrounds. And it's not easy. You see, when you are raised with somebody together, you have a certain common understanding. But when somebody is raised from a different background, one day I was talking to a gentleman who had become a big man, and I was asking him, he was telling me, he said, look, the first time he saw WC was when he went to secondary school. Do you know WC? I mean, what he used to use was not even Kumasi ventilated improved pit latrine. That wasn't the KVIP. No. He used to go to the bush. So he said that the day he got to school and he says he wants to use the washroom. I mean, here you can't do free range here because you, look, the school is in town. Do you understand? There's no bush there. The school is in town. You cannot misbehave here. You can't bring your bushness from that place here. So they told him that, oh, the washroom is in there. Then he went there. Then he saw the toilet bowl. So he didn't know whether he should eat from it. Look, I'm telling you, all my stories are true. He didn't know whether to eat from it. He didn't know what to do with it. Then they said that you sit on it. When he was sitting on it, he tried to squat. Because that's what he's used to squatting. Can you imagine? A person who has been raised. And listen to me. These are the kind of people that God will make you pastors over. Make you shepherds over. So if you always insult, hey, we are crossing it, there will be. Can you be a good pastor over such a person? By the time you are finished with the person's life spiritually would have been enhanced. His life physically would also have changed, and mentally it would have also changed. Because you learn many things from you as a pastor. If you're a pastor, you are like a doctor, you are a nurse, you are a teacher, you are a breadwinner, you are everything. Because listen, the Bible says that when the good Samaritan took the guy to the inn, he handed the guy into the hands of the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the pastor. And then he said, I'm going to a far country. When I come back, I'll pay you all. So we are waiting for our pay. If you are a worker for Christ, your pay is not what you earn here. Your pay, the master himself, will honor you with it. Hallelujah. Somebody being blessed. Are you receiving direction for your life? Are you going to love the brethren? Yeah. And sometimes some people feel that love simply means that you cannot rebuke. Love is expressed in rebuke. Yeah. If a person is wrong, he's wrong. There are some people you need to take a certain action for them to rise. One day a guy was leaving, so I said, you move from the place. I had something to do with the place. So I said, move out from the place. The reason why I was sacking him from the place was because he had become so complacent. And I'm even sure that if he married, that's where he would have wanted to bring a wife. And I would be waiting for that wife also who will follow the guy to that place. Today, Bishop was teaching about precedency. You must be the president of your life. Say, oh, the president is not doing well. You are the president of your life. So you should do well for yourself. I said, you should do well for what? For yourself. If you cannot lead yourself, you can't lead people. That is why the Bible says that a leader must first lead his home. Your home is in disarray. There's the confusion. Hiroshima bomb in your home. And yet you want to rule? You can't rule. Amen. You have to lay down your life. Turn to somebody and tell you have to lay down your life. Number three. Okay, my time is going, so I will take number three and then we'll continue another time. If you love the Lord, you will have compassion for the brethren. If you love the Lord, you have what? Do you know what it means to have compassion? You are full of mercy. And you are full of concern. Deep sense of concern for people. You see, when you read the story of the Good Samaritan, clearly, the Bible says the Levite came, he looked, and then he passed. And the Bible says that the priest came. And then he left. And some of us, that's how we are. We pray in tongues, but when there are real issues to address, you don't rise up to address it. And the Good Samaritan, he was called Good Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He was called good because he saved the guy. You know, the guy just carried him. And you know, it was a risky venture because the area was known for armed robbery. You know? And then he carried him on his beast. You see, now the beast is only American president who drives that kind of car. So that you can see that Charlie, the Good Samaritan was a rich man. He was driving a beast. Hallelujah. And then he poured in oil and poured in wine. And then he bandaged it and took him to the inn. He showed concern. He showed what? I remember one day I went to preach in the cells. As I was preaching, I had gone to cells. I had taken food, you know. After I had served them with the food, I started preaching. Then one preacher said, that be what you people they do. You just come here one day, you know, go come here again. Hey! As I brought you food, and I've come to share the word of God with you, you are saying that there's a one day, this benign one that... It was a real temptation. You know, because if I listen to my flesh, I'll say, you, be there till Jesus come, you. If I listen to my flesh. But I didn't say anything and I continued to preach. Because you see, Satan used him to distract the sermon. But I still preached powerfully. And people gave their lives to Christ. When he finished, he said, Charlie, pastor, you preach powerfully, power. Charlie, I won't come to your church, power. I said, where you are? How will you come to church? I'm praying that the Lord will help you to come out of this place. Let me pray with you. I laid hands and I said, Father, forgive him for all that he said. Father, I pray that your mercy will find him. Listen to me. As I was praying that prayer, I was crying in my heart. That this guy, he deserves a curse. But listen to me. That is the call to walking in love. If you are going to walk in love, you need to give yourself to the brethren. Hallelujah. Sometimes they may call you a fool. It's okay. It's okay to be a fool. Only to execute the command of your master. One day the captain of our salvation will be given rewards. And you'll be amazed that insult you received possibly will give you higher marks. To give you higher marks. May the Lord help us to extend love to the brethren in Jesus' mighty name. Rise to your feet. 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 Lift your hands wherever you are. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we want to thank you so much for your truth. Your truth. Lord, we thank you that through the knowledge of your word, through the knowledge of your truth, we, oh God, your sons and daughters, are going to live it. Father, may we not just hear your word and do otherwise. May we have honor and respect for the truth and help us to do it. Lord, fill our hearts with fresh love. Fresh love. Fresh love. May your love and your compassion fill our hearts one more time. May our love for the brethren go higher and higher. May we extend love towards the brethren. Even those, oh God, in the past we have not respected. May we begin to have respect for them again. Deliver us from our sins, Lord. We have always loved those who love us. We have shown kindness to those who show us kindness. But this morning we repent. And we say, have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. And give us a fresh heart. That in the midst of all the things, we will still say, we love the Lord. And we also love the brethren. Holy Spirit, help us. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Holy Spirit.
Say, Holy Spirit, help
Holy
me.
Holy Spirit, help
say,
me.
Say, Holy Spirit, help
Holy
me.
Holy Spirit, help me.
Help me to love the brethren.
Help me to love.
Help me to walk in love.
Help me to walk
true love.
True love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I want to end by saying that your life will be meaningless without Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a great gain. It is a great gain for you when you have Jesus as the captain of your salvation. When you have Jesus as the Lord of your life. And he is the one I want to introduce to you today. You want to say, Bishop, pray for me. I want him to be the master of my life. I want to surrender my life entirely to him. And I want to follow him and do his will. If you are here this morning, you want to give your life to him, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you right now. Somebody invited you. You came all by yourself. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. God bless you. Lift it up high. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus wants to save you from your sins. He wants to wash your sins away and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, if you've lifted your hands, do another thing for me. Can you just walk to me? Come down. I'm coming down to meet you. Just come. Just come. Come. I want to pray for you. Come. I want to pray for you. Come. Come. Ushers, help them. Come. No matter how young you think you are, you can honor God by offering your life to him. When I was as little as you, today is your day of salvation. Jesus Christ, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life from this morning. I am a sinner, born in sin, grew up in sin, and the sinful nature is in me. But today, you are the only one who can set me free. I come to you just as I am. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. From today, I want to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Father, we bless you for these precious souls. And we thank you that as little and young as they are, they have a soul, they have spirit, and they live in this body. Thank you that you have redeemed them from the curse of the law and you have redeemed them from sin. Thank you that your blood has washed them and all their sins will you remember no more. We give you praise for their lives in Jesus' name, and all said amen. Wow.